welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Browsing Message Fields, Properties, and Contents in WebSphere MQ version 7. Today's presenter is Anhu Wavera. Anhu is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS clients of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere Application Server. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Anhu.
Thank you, Joseph. Good morning, MQ fans. My name is Angel Rivera, and I work for IBM WebSphere MQ Level 2 support for Unix in the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina, USA. Welcome to this webcast entitled Browsing Message Fields, Properties, and Contents in WebSphere MQ version 7. Let's begin. Next page, please. Page 2, Agenda. Based on the request from several of our alert listeners for this broadcast, who have asked for more information on how to browse messages in MQ, we are glad to offer you this broadcast. This presentation has the following main sections. First, I will cover basic tasks related to browsing messages that are available in both MQ version 6 and version 7. The sample ANQSPUT is used for doing a put of a message into a queue. Then the sample ANQSBCG is used to browse a non-destructed GET, the message information and contents from the queue. In addition, the MQ Explorer can be used to do a put and to browse the message. Second, I will cover intermediate tasks also available for both MQ version 6 and version 7. These tasks are related to find out the recent code of a message that could not be delivered and that was sent to the dead letter queue. Third, I will describe some advanced tasks that are only available in MQ version 7. The sample AMQSBCG has options to show in different ways the message properties which were introduced in MQ version 7. Fourth, there are four support packs that will be briefly described. Next page, please. Page 3, Purpose. The purpose for this presentation is to describe the different mechanisms to browse messages in WebSphere MQ version 6 and version 7. You will see specific ways to view the message fields, such as a message ID, the message properties, which were introduced in version 7 for all languages, the actual contents of the message, this is also called the payload, and the recent codes for messages sent to the dead letter queue. I will be using sample executables that are provided with MQ and the MQ Explorer. These samples are provided with installation file set, MQ series samples. The screenshots that you will see are from MQ7011, which is the latest fix pack. As mentioned in the agenda, the first and second parts of the presentation present methods that work in both version 6 and version 7, and these parts are targeted for beginners. The third part will show only the methods that work with version 7, and this part is targeted for intermediate users. Next page, please. Page 4, Simple C-Based Samples, Version 6 and Version 7. Let's start this presentation by using simple samples. There are two versions for each sample discussed here. One version is for the connection type called bindings, which means that the MQ client code that is used by the sample is going to use in-memory inter-process communications to talk to the queue manager. This is only possible if the client and the queue manager are located in the same machine. The other version uses the connection type called client, which means that the MQ client uses the network and the TCP/IP protocol to talk to the queue manager, even if both are located in the same machine. The naming convention for the samples use an extra letter C at the end of the file name to indicate that the version of the sample uses a client connection client. To put a message, we are going to use the sample AMQSPUT bindings and AMQSPUTC for client. To get a message, we are going to use AMQS GET for bindings and MQS GET C for client. When we do not qualify the action to get a message in MQ, we explicitly assume that the GET of a message is going to be a destructive read. That is, the message is going to be removed from the queue after it is being read. In contrast, the action of browsing a message, it is going to be a non-destructive read. The message remains in the queue. The sample to use is AMQSBCG for bindings and the corresponding one for clients. For simplicity, the bindings versions will be used in this presentation. By the way, in order to use the client versions, we need to perform some configuration steps in order to indicate how the MQ client is going to talk to the server, either by explicit parameters in the MQCon call of the application, by using the MQ server environment variable, the MQ client configuration client configuration file called mqclient.ini, or the client channel definition table, CCDT. Again, I will not be discussing these methods for client connection, only bindings. Next page, please. Page 5, see samples provided with MQ. The nice thing about these samples that I'm going to describe is that you will have access to both the executable code and the C source code. In that way, you can study the MQ interface calls, and you can experiment with the code. You can modify some things, recompile, and try again. The location of the executable code in Linux, HPUX, and Solaris is the following: /opt, /mqm, samp, bin, and the name of the file. The location of the C source code is mentioned in the screen, in the slide, and the file set is mq series samples -70 something, and which means if you have not installed all the components for MQ, and if you don't have this file set installed, you will not find it in, you will not find the samples in your system. Notice that in AIX, the top directory is /usr and not /opt. And this slide provides the location of the executables and the C source code for Windows. Next page, please. Page 6, MQ Explorer version 7. Slide 1. The MQ Explorer version 7 is a GUI tool that is used to interact with a queue manager and its objects. For our purposes, it allows to put a message into a queue, to read, get the message, and to browse it. It is very useful to browse the messages in the dead letter queue because it does the proper formatting of the data and the recent code. You will get more details in later slides. The MQ Explorer provides remote access to queue managers in other hosts. It knows how to interact with version 6 queue managers. Next page, please. Page 7, MQ Explorer, version 7. The MQ Explorer is available for Windows and Linux x86 Intel, 32-bit and 64-bit. It is included with a server CD or from the download installation images for the server. However, you can download the standalone version, the executables are the same as the one provided with the server CD, from the following support pack, which is fully supported by my team, MQ Support, MS0T WebSphere MQ Explorer. If you want to know more about the MQ Explorer, please consult the related presentations which I offered. One is, what is new in WebSphere MQ Explorer version 7? And the second is remote administration of queue managers using MQ Explorer. Next page, please. Page 8, excellent tutorials, Redbooks. I would like to recommend the following Redbooks, which are free, because they offer excellent tutorials and provide step-by-step instructions for doing tasks via commands and also via the MQ Explorer. The first one is WebSphere MQ version 6 Fundamentals, and for this presentation is specifically Chapter 9, Hands-on Introduction to Messaging. The other red book is WebSphere MQ version 7, Features and Enhancements. Next page, please. Page 9. Prerequisite, create a local queue. We will need to define a queue in order to put and browse the messages. There are two ways to do it. One, using the MQ administration line command called run mqsc. you need to be an MQ administrator to use this tool. In Unix, you need to belong to the Unix group called MQM. First, you invoke the tool as follows, run MQSE and the QManager name. Then you will be inside the tool, and any text that you type will be interpreted as being an MQ command. In this case, to define a local queue with all the defaults, enter define space queue local parentheses the name of the queue, QY in this case. The other method is to use the MQ Explorer. These are the instructions. I did not include a screen capture for it. From the left panel, the navigator view, expand the icon for the queue manager, select the queues folder under the queue manager, right-click the queues folder and select new local queue, then create a local queue, the wizard opens, enter the name of the queue, Q1, and click finish. Next page, please. Page 10. Put message into queue, MQS put number one. Once we have a queue, we can proceed to put a message. Let's start with the lines command sample. Execute the following command, MQS put space, the name of the queue, Q1, then the name of the queue manager. The following output is displayed, and the command waits for user input. Sample start the queue is whatever, Q1, and then it waits for you. Then you type a short message, and press enter, and you can enter multiple messages, pressing enter after each one. Next page, please. Page 11, put message into a queue, part 2. To exit the sample, leave a blank line and then press enter. The following shows you the sequence. There is a limitation. The executable that is provided with MQ has a length of a message of 265,000 characters. However, if you want to increase the size, you can modify the source code and recompile. For more information on this sample, consult the MQ version 7 Information Center, which is online, and specifically the section, the Put Sample Programs. Next page, please. Page 12. Put message into a queue. Explorer part 1. You can use the MQ Explorer to put a message into a queue. Highlight the queues folder under the queue manager. In the right panel, then you will have to right-click the row on the table for Q1, and then bring the context menu with a right-click, and then select Put Text Message. This opens the Put Text Message window. Next page, please. Page 13, type a message into the message data field, highlighted in this slide, then click Put Message. The message data field will become blank. You can enter multiple text messages, clicking put message after each one. Next page, please. Page 14. Okay, we have put messages now. How do we confirm that indeed we have messages in a queue? This is page 14, how to find out if a queue has messages. A frequent question that we get is from users is, okay, how do I find out? One way is to use the MQ administration tool, run MQSE. The following command will display a local queue and will show the value for the attribute called current depth. Then you type display QL for local queue and then the attribute current depth. You will see the output. The first line will have the name of the queue and what type of queue it is. There is no way to avoid having these attributes shown in the output. The next line will include the attribute. You can select more attributes also, and you can have all those specific ones. Now, in some cases, customers have the follow-up question. Well, how could I invoke run MQSC from within a script or in a single type? In that way, they don't want to interact with run MQSC itself. And the following shows how to combine the command echo and to pipe the output of echo as the input for run MQSC. Notice that in Unix, you need to include the display QL current depth between double quotes. A further follow-up question is, okay, if I type this echo command, I will see all this verbiage, but I'm interested only on the integer, in this case, the number 2 that is shown for current depth. Well, we have provided here a tech note that is called how to obtain the value for an attribute from the output of run MQSC. It's a rather long string I didn't want to show you here, but you're welcome to take a look at this tech note. In that way, you can get specifically the value that is inside for an attribute. It could be an integer, it could be a string, and so on. Next page, please. Page 15. Another way to find out is using the MQ Explorer. And you can select the name of the queue from the right panel. The column for the current depth is the sixth column from the left by default. And it might be that this column will not be shown in the screen. You will need to scroll to the right until you see the column current queue depth. In this case, barely you can see that it fitted in the screen, but you may want it to have it closer. And let's go to the next page, page 16. If you're going to perform frequently this task of looking at the current depth, you may want to customize this view in the MQ Explorer and to move the desired column to the left, closer to the queue name, such as being the second column from the left instead of being the sixth one. In that way, you do not have to scroll to the right every time that you want to see the number of messages in the queue. For details on how you can perform this customization, you can consult the following presentation that is already mentioned, What is New in WebSphere MQ Explorer Version 7, slides 46 to 47. Next page, please. Page 17. Okay, now that we have put a message and we know that there is a message in the queue, how do we do a browse? Remember, a browse is a non-destructive get. We are going to get the message, but the message will remain in the queue. We will use the sample AMQS-BCG. For more information, you can take a look at that web page from the Information Center. It has a limitation. It prints the first 65,000 bytes of the message and fails with the reason truncated message if the longer message is read. Again, you can modify this script, this sample, and recompile it to fit your needs if you want to display more characters. Next page, please. This page shows the output of MQS-BCG. We have split the output in two slides. In this first slide, we are going to see the top portion of it. By the way, if you have 10 messages in the queue, this tool will just show you what is the first, second, all the way to the 10th. There is no way to say, with this tool, I want to browse only the fifth message in the queue. It will show you all the messages in the order in which they were received. And I want to let you know that the messages have really two sections. The first one is the message descriptor or metadata, which is kind of the envelope. It has the addressee, to which it is. It has different marks in the envelope. And the second portion of the message is the content, is the letter that you put inside the envelope, that is also called the payload. Let's take a look at some of the important fields from the message descriptor, which is the top portion that is shown with the browser. The expiry. -1 means that the message doesn't have an expiration date in the queue. It will remain there as long as the queue is there and the queue manager is active and so on. The coded character set ID, also called the CCS ID, in this case is 437. And it's extremely important for data conversion issues. In this particular case, the page 437 is for English and Western European languages in Windows. The next important field is the format, NQSTR, which means that it's a character string. The default priority is 0. And the value of 0 for the persistence field indicates that the message is not a persistent one. That is, this message will not survive a restart of the queue manager. The message ID and the correlation ID are next. And the backout count is used when dealing with poison messages. That is, messages that could not be delivered to an MDV running inside an application server. This value indicates the number of times that the message was not delivered and the transaction had to be backed out. Finally, the reply to queue and reply to queue manager are used for replies. Next page, please. page 19, browsing messages, we'll talk about now the bottom portion. I will skip the minor fields and we'll go directly to the contents of the payload, which are the last three lines at the bottom of the slide. We have an indication of how many bytes were in the contents of the message, in this case 13 bytes, and we have our representation that is in hexadecimal on the left, and in the right is in ASCII. In this case, it's just test message 1. Next page, please. Page 20, browsing messages MQ Explorer. From the MQ Explorer, what you can do is select the queue, right-click, you will bring the context menu and select browse messages. And then you will get the screen, a window that is shown at the bottom of the slide. In this case, we have two messages. And if you double-click in one of the messages, you will see more details. Next page, the page, please. Page 21, this is an example of how the contents of the message will look like. The information is displayed in different tabs. The first one is called the General tab, and I highlighted some of the important fields that I've discussed previously, priority, persistence, expiry, backout count, and so on. And let's go to the next page, please. Page 22, browsing messages. And I wanted to skip all the other tabs to the data tab. It has, this was a different message, it has the data length is 14, a format is MQ string, the coded character set identifier is 1208, this was provided from Linux, and the message data is test message 2. And at the bottom you will see the hexadecimal representation of the data. Next page, please. Page 23, preferences. In version 7, you can customize how many messages to show in a queue, the default is 500, and how many bytes of data to display, the default is 1,000 bytes. In contrast, in version 6, the MQ Explorer, you could not customize these two properties. The values were 500 and 1,000 bytes correspondingly. Next page, please. Page 24, GMS messages, version 6 and version 7, GMS producer. Now, let's see how to put a message using the Java Messaging Service, or JMS. You can use the sample provided with MQ. The name of the sample is called GMS producer. The location in Unix for both the Java source and the Java class files is /opt-nqm-samp-jms-samples. By the way, in Unix, you need to set up the MQ environment variables to run JMS by executing the appropriate descriptor provided by MQ. In case you are using a 32-bit architecture, you have to type dot space setjms end. In case you are using a 64-bit architecture, you have to type dot space setjms end 64. In Windows, the location of the sample is shown below, and the installer for Windows sets the proper variables into the system. You do not need to run any scripts. Next page, please. Page 25, GMS messages. To run this sample, you need to invoke the Java with the minus uppercase D flag to indicate the Java library path. And also, you need to indicate with a minus D the location of the file that provides the details on the JNDI, which has the details on the JMS connection factory. I know this is kind of a large mouthful, but this is the best way to interact with JMS using the JNDI. It's the most flexible way. That way, you do not have to hard code things in your code. And JMS producer, we have to provide the name of the queue manager and the name of the actual destination. That's the minus lowercase d, in this case, is the Q1. And this sample, when it's executed, it will tell you what are the different fields for the JMS attributes. And the last line, the last two lines are, JMS producer, your lucky number today is 234. That's actually the message that we are sending with this particular sample. The rest are just fields from the message descriptor.
Okay,
let's go to the next page, please. Page 26, JMS messages. Now we use the corresponding sample called JMS browser. We invoke it in the same way. And then it will show us, it's actually going to read the message from the queue, and it will show us the data. There are some additional fields that are highlighted in the slide. And it will show us all the JMS fields, and then the last line will be JMS producer, your lucky number today is 234. Next page, please. Page 27. Now, let's browse with a C code sample called NQS-BCG, the message that was sent from a JMS application. Then we use NQS-BCG, and I am deleting most of the, not showing most of the fields. I want just to concentrate on what is important for this discussion. And we notice that the format is called NQHRF2, which is also called the RFH2 header. And the important thing is that JMS, the NQ messages for JMS have inside the payload a specific header which is consists of different tags that will identify this as a JMS message. And I'm showing here that even though the length is 191 bytes, most of it is for the RFH2 header that is shown on the top. And at the bottom, eventually we'll see what is the actual data. And let's go to the next page, page 28. This slide and the next shows you how to set the preferences for displaying the JMS message properties. The first slide illustrates how to show them as named properties. And you need to find out this particular window. You need to select the window option from the top menu bar from the NQ Explorer and then select Preferences. In the Preferences, expand the bottom entry, which is for the NQ Explorer, and then click Messages. And then, as you can see, it will say Message Properties, Show Message Properties as Name Properties. And the bottom part of the slide is showing you that the data is shown in different tabs, and if you select the tab called Name Properties, you will find that the name properties, how they are shown, JMS delivery mode, in value 2, destination, etc. An important field is the last one, is that's the type of message in JMS. In this case, it's called JMS underscore text. It could be bytes, stream, maps, objects. There are different ways for different types of JMS messages, but that's not the subject for this presentation. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 29. The other way to show the name, the properties, are as an NQRFH2 structure in the message body. And, again, you can go to the window and select the different option. By the way, the third option is practically the same as the second one, as this one. And then you will see that it's, in contrast, you will see a different way of showing the values for the name for the properties. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 30. Okay. Up to this point, we cover more or less basic tasks that are related to browse messages in both version 6 and version 7. Now, we'll start with some for intermediate users for NQ. When a message is not, it cannot be delivered, for example, there is not a queue there for that message, etc., then it is sent to something called a dead letter queue. The default is called the system.deadLetterQueue, that it has to be specified at the time of the creation of the queue manager. And by the way, you can specify it also later on. And the idea is that this message will be sent to that DLQ, and it will have a special header to indicate the reason why the message is sent to the DLQ. And to view that recent code, you can use a sample MQS-BCG to find out, and you can use it as mentioned in this slide. Let's go page 31, please. Page 31. This is a portion of the data that will indicate from the message that the format, it says MQ-DEAD. That will be an indication that the payload will have an extra line that will contain information on the reason code. Let's go to the next page. Page 32. In the message data, you will see that the first line in the output, and it has what is called an eye catcher that begins with DLH. Okay? When you look at the ASCII data on the right, you will see DLH. Okay. What is the reason code? Well, isn't one of those dots represented in the right side? Well, that's not very useful. How do I get it? Well, what you need to do, I know this is kind of a little bit geeky, but that's the way it is with the line commands. Then you will need to go to the 9, 10, 11, 12 bytes, okay, and which is the 5th and the 6th pair from the left. And I have highlighted them and put some asterisks underneath. In this case, we have 000, 07, Frank 3. And that's the hexadecimal, 00007F3. Now, how to interpret these data, this particular field? Let's go to the next page, please. For Unix, except for Linux on Intel, okay, you can use the NQRC command to find out the meaning of that recent code. You have to compose the code to be as follows in hexadecimal. NQRC space 0x. Those two things are really important. 0x. And then the complete string. And in this case, NQRC will tell you that it's equivalent to 2035. It's called NQRC not authorized. That will be a recent code for this, the recent code for this message. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 34. Keep in mind that the following shortcuts will not work with NQRC. NQRC is not a very intelligent command. You have to really type it exactly. And if you try all these things, you will say no matching return codes. Okay, next page, please. Page 35. Now, we cover about Unix. Now, we'll cover the next one is for Windows and Linux for Intel. They use a different architecture, and therefore is different. And we have to do what is called the swapping of the bytes. Now, the following is an example of a real message that was sent to the dead letter queue in a Windows system. And in this case, I highlighted by 2 and by 1 on purpose. You may think, okay, in Unix I have to put those four integers together, and then you can say, okay, let me take the MQRC 0x250800 as exactly this, and then you will get no matching return code. And say, wow, what is going on? Then let's go to the next page, please. Page 36. You will need to swap the bytes in order to reverse the sequence. And I was trying to portray here graphically what you will need to do. Then if 25 is the first number, it has to be the last. Okay? In this case, by transposing all those numbers as it is, as mentioned here, you will get the reason code is 0x000825. And in this case, when you use the MQRC command, then it will tell you that the error code is 2085, a non-object name. Let's go to the next page, please. Now, you say, wow, that was really geeky. Is there a way to do it in a better way to do it? Yes, it is. You can use the NQ Explorer, and this is page 37. And it is far easier to find out the recent code by browsing a message from the BLQ via the Explorer. It handles the swapping of bytes according to the platforms. In this example, the NQ Explorer shows the short name for the recent code, NQRC or non-object name. Okay, it's easy. You don't have to do any transposing of bytes or finding where it's located. those two bytes are located, etc. But you might be knowing, okay, well, I need to go now to the MQ support website in order to search. And if you search for that long name, probably you will get some hits. But most likely you will get the hits if you use the recent code. And what you can do, do a reverse lookup using MQRC. Before we use MQRC, provided the number, and it will give us the short name. In this case, you give it the short name, and it will give us the number, 2085. Then if you look for 2085 in our MQ support web pages, very likely you will have more hits. Next page, please. Page 38. Okay. That was the last slide was the end of the intermediate section, which was both common for version 6 and version 7. Now, from now on, we'll talk only about things that are new in version 7. In version 7, we have message properties for both JMS and non-JMS applications. In version 6, in contrast, we have message properties only on JMS. You couldn't have message properties in C-based applications. In version 7, now we have them in both. And the following tech talk has a very detailed instructions and plenty of screen captures on how to view the message properties and the RFH2 header from a message in NQ version 7. And in these slides, in this presentation, I'm going to show you a few of those, of that, a subset of the information. Next page, please. Page 39. Let's identify some samples that we can use to add message properties. For JMS, you can use the sample called sample.jms.msg.property.java, which is provided with a tech document. The tech document is used in an NDB with JMS message selectors with the MQ WebSphere in version 7 and WAS version 7. For the C code, see the sample in the MQ directory tree /opt-mqm and bin amq-sstm. Next page, please. Page 40. Okay, by using either one of those samples, what I did was select a property called color, and I give it a name, a value, in this case, red. Then we had a message property in both JMS and also in C code that was color equals red. And in page 40 shows you how they look like from the MQ Explorer. You can specify how to look at the message properties, and this is already explained in page 28. The highlight text in red is for a message property called color equals red when we say we want to see name properties. And the bottom portion of the slide shows you what happens if we want to see them as RFH2 headers, color equals red. Next page, please. Page 41. The sample AMQSBCG has been upgraded in version 7, has been expanded with an option to indicate how you want to look at the properties. And there are six ways to do it. Option number 0 is the default. It means the properties will be shown as they are defined in the queue definition. And I will not give you more examples because the previous examples were using that option. And then I will show you in the next slides, the other options. One is properties in the message handle. The other is do not show any properties. Show them as RFH2. Show them for compatibility or the last. And those two are not covered in these slides. They are just a combination. One of the number 1, 2, and 3. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 42. Properties in message handle. The main differences in the output are the following. The format field will have MQSTR. And then there is an explicit section with the message properties. You will see a section as shown below called message properties, and then you see color and red. Okay? The section for the message data at the bottom will not show you the message properties. Okay? It will show you only whatever it was in the message. but not the properties. The properties are in their own section. Next, let's go to the next page, please. Page 43, properties none. The main differences with respect to the usual way is, again, the format will say MQSTR, which is actually the same, but then the message properties will not be shown because we don't want to see them. Next page, please, page 44. And this is when we use the option number 3, which is props in MQRFH2. The main differences are that the format value has MQHRF2, and the section for the message data will show the RFH2 header, and as I highlighted here, it will be, you will have the whole header, but then we'll have USR, then color, red, the end of the color message, and the end of the user section for the JMS header. Next page, please. Page 45. Okay. That's the end of the section related to just exclusively for version 7. And in the next few slides, I'm going to talk briefly about 4 support packs. Support packs are ways for the development team of MQ to expand the functionality of MQ without affecting every single person in the user of MQ. Then it's up to you if you want to download some of the support packs. Also, those are the we call category 3, which are fully supported by my team. There is another category, which is category number 2, which is as is, in which people like you or some other users from MQ develop some samples or some ways of doing things, and we think that there is some value for other people to use them, and we provide them, but my team does not provide support for them. These 4 support packs fall in that category. They are good faith, and as is, my team does not provide support for them. The first one is, in page 45, the support pack IH03 RFH Util. This sample is being used by many people from the message broker community, and I provide you the link where you can download this one. But you don't have to be using message broker to use this utility. It is perfectly well and useful for MQ. And it contains a GUI utility for Windows and several line commands for different platforms. With the GUI, you can browse messages and view the different components such as the message descriptor, the payload, which is the contents of the data, the JMS header, PubSub, etc. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 46. This shows the main window for the RFH utility, and you fill in the name for the queue manager, the name of the queue, and then you go to the bottom called Display Queue. Let's go to the next page. Page 47. After doing that, you will see that this particular queue has 2 messages, and then you can do a start browse, and you can browse the messages. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 48. In this case, we see, again, the data with different tabs, and based on the tab that you select, you will see the different information. And let's go to the next page, please. Page 49. This is another support pack, MA96. It's called the Message Browser. And the message descriptor, the MQMD, is shown in parsed format, and each data in the MQMD is shown with semantic descriptions in addition to the actual value. The message content is shown in graphic hexadecimal representation and also in character representation. In addition, there is extended formatting function for other formats. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 50, this shows you the main window for this tool. Next page, please. Page 51, support pack MO03 QLoad. It's not M003 or M003. It's MO, letter O, then the number 3, the number 0 and 3. A bit confusing, sorry. QLoad. And this is just a line command utility. It allows the user to copy or move the contents of a queue, it's all the messages, to a single file. This file can be saved away as required and used at some later point to reload the messages back onto the queue. This file has a specific format that is understood by utility, but is human readable, and that's the reason I included it in this presentation. You can look at through an editor the contents of the file, of the messages. Again, this is a Category 2, and it's provided in good faith, and as is not supported by my team. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 52, and this is a support pack MA17, the message handler for ZOS. It provides C and COBOL sample code for message handler application for WebSerenQ on ZOS or NDS ESA. The program allows users to view, forward, and delete messages. Next page, please. References, page 53. All the web pages mentioned throughout the presentation are consolidated into these three pages with references. Let's go to the next page, please. The second page for references. And finally, let's go to the next page. This is the last page for the references that includes all the support packs. Of the five support packs mentioned in this presentation, only the one for MS-0T, the WebSerenQ Explorer, is fully supported by NQ support. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 56. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSer products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Password Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online, and the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products or interest to you. Now, I am returning the microphone back to Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Matt, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Vantu Kumar.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
I just have two questions.
Yes.
One is with the message browser, the support pack. Is that support pack used only in the server side, or you can use it in the client as well, NQ client?
You will need to have access to the queue. And I just installed it. Personally, I just experimented that only on my machine that had the server.
Yeah, because I do have that support pack installed in my laptop, but I have only MQ client. Though I can access to the queues, but I have MQ client. So I tried, but I couldn't get that successful from my laptop. So I just wanted to know whether it's for server or for both client and server.
I don't know, but I will be glad to investigate. Do you mind if you can send me an email?
Sure, I'll send you an email.
And then I will do some experimentation, and I will contact the author of the support pack in case I have some questions.
Definitely, I'll do that. And the other one I have is like the message properties.
Yes.
Like, can you a little bit elaborate on that purpose of the message properties, like where it will be used really? So.
Yes. With JMS, there was an introduction of something called a message properties. And the idea is, besides having the limited number of attributes that we provide in the message descriptor, some people wanted to have something customizable, like color equals red, or maybe location, maybe Rome, or things like that. And they wanted to be able to, in JMS specifically, they wanted to say, okay, I want to be able to, the application says, okay, I have 100 messages in the queue. I would like to get only those messages that have the attribute of the message property called color equals red. I don't want the ones color equals blue, for example.
Okay.
Then in version 6 of NQ, the JMS client did all that extra work of getting all the messages from the queue in order to select the messages and give to the application only those messages that comply, that match the criteria. In version 7, we did far more work in the queue manager side in and expanded the concept of message properties for all types of languages, not just JMS.
Okay.
Now, in version 7, you can use C code and still have message properties, and when the client says, oh, I want to have all those messages that have color equals blue or red in the properties, this time the queue manager will do the search for you, the selection, and it will do it also for JMS, which means that it's more efficient and it's, you are able to do extra things with all languages for message properties.
Okay.
One of the things that you could do, for example, is maybe routing messages to different queues based on the properties. In that way, you can exploit them in that manner.
So, the message properties, like you can have user-defined properties, like whatever that we need be required for our application or something like that.
That's correct.
So you mean to say in version 6, we do have a message property support only from JMS, not from the normal C code or something, right?
Indeed, yes, correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Thank you so
and
much.
And the reason I wanted to introduce how to browse those message properties is because if you use version 6, you will not be able to do it really.
Okay.
But in version 7, you can do it for all languages. I mean, using those methods that I were presented.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Abraham Turan.
Good presentation.
Thank
just
you.
One question. I use a support pack called MO71. Just wondering, is that supported support pack or is it like a...
Which one again? Is
MO71.
Okay. Yeah, it is called the Webster NQ for Windows GUI Administrator. The category support is 2, which means that only the authors of the support pack will give maintenance to that. This is a good support pack to use. However, we would like to encourage to use the NQ Explorer. It is a GUI. It is available also for the support pack. People can download it, and it's fully supported by us.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Pat Brennan of Humana.
Hello.
Hello.
On slide 16, where you talk about customizing so that you see the current queue depth.
Yes.
I've done that in version 6, and it seems like every time I close it and come back, it has defaulted again. Is there a trick to save the way you customize it in version 6?
Yes, and it is actually mentioned in two particular slides in a presentation. There is a trick in which when you go to the left-hand side, after you customize the screen, you need to save that view. And then you can specify if you want to use that view for subsequent access to the NQ Explorer. And the options will be at the bottom. And there is a picture of that in the presentation about using the NQ Explorer.
Do you know which one it is? I didn't notice that one.
Yeah. It is in slides 46 and 47 of the webcast, What is New in NQ Explorer version 7. Those two slides tell you exactly all the steps, and very likely you're missing one of them.
My slides 46 and 47 is about RFHUtil.
Well, sorry, it is in a different presentation.
Oh, a different one. Oh, okay. I hadn't had a chance to go there yet. Okay.
Yes.
That's
it's
what
in
I
in
the
different
that.
Presentation, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
There are no further questions in queue.
Thank you, Matt. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.